Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Kaf He B'Sivan Parashas Korach Tavshin Ein Vav, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 30 June 2016. Webcasting from the Promised Land that the Ishmaelites claim is really theirs, and because we stole it from them, they have the right to, in a morning, climb into an open window of a house where Jews live and stab to death anyone, or all of them, and then be shot to death by Jews. One can only imagine the nightmare this morning. Little 13-year-old beautiful Halel Yafa Ariel woke up into, aroused by blows to her body. 8 knife strikes in the hands of a 17-year-old Arab clone of his forefather Ishmael, who also at age 17 was expelled from his father's tents. His security guard who came to the rescue was also seriously wounded before another guard destroyed this Arab animal with the knife. A wild ass of a man with rabies or something. What kind of a culture produces these homicidal maniacs driven by insane hatred of all non-Muslims in general and in particular Jews? Because, well, that's what the Quran preaches. Jews are a believer's biggest enemy, even more than Christian priest. The verse in the Quran says. Thousands of people came to her funeral today in Hebron, the very same town we read about in the Bible, the site of the family plot of the Jewish people, the cave of our patriarchs and our matriarchs, the first 3 generations. And the sons of Ishmael insist that that's theirs too, and we stole it from them and they want it back. Ishmael is like an animal who is all appetite, unbridled by any ethical constraint, any respect for other people. He truly is a descendant of Ham on his mother's side. The Arabs, chronic and compulsive thieves, claim to be Semites because they too come from Abraham, but Jews don't go by the father. His half-brother, Yitzhak, was a Semite because his mother was Sarah. As great a figure among women in her day as he was her husband among men. No, Arabs are not Semites. This claim is something else they stole from us. They're Hamites. And who was Ham? Born before the great flood, he more than his 2 brothers, who took after their father Noah, took after other people in the world at that time when they were all unbridled aggression. And that so saddened and angered Hashem, he chose to wipe out his creation. The Torah teaches that the sin that was the final straw was called Hamas, from the word ham, meaning hot, as in hot-headed, hot-blooded, impulsive. It was this unbridled violence towards others that brought on the destruction of God's finest creation. And it seems as if Ham, who survived the flood, was the most infected with Hamas and brought it over into the world after the flood. For Jews, then, the word Hamas refers to the worst sin of all that brought on the great flood. But the same word in Arabic, the name of the Muslim Brotherhood branch here, it's the zenith of religious enthusiasm, Hamas is. It's a state of ecstasy, passion, zeal, that they bring on themselves via murdering Jews and being killed by the Jews at the same time. Islam is one sick state of mind. It's a lie when people talk of the 3 great monotheistic religions or the 3 great Abrahamic religions. This is not a cliche Jews can sign off on. Islam formally believes in one God, but in practice, a better name for the faith would be Mohammedanism, which a century ago was a respectable name for this cult. The first book I ever read on Islam in college was called Mohammedanism by H.A.R. Gibb. It's a classic. Mohammedanism is a better name than Islam because Islam connotes belief in the one God, but that's hardly an identifying marker of Islam, not an original idea at all. What distinguishes this community is not monotheism, but its fanatical allegiance to Muhammad, who seems to have been a kind of charismatic, unbelievably cruel and ruthless Charles Manson type of gang leader. He was the greatest head chopper of his generation, A real psychopath. And that is why I get angry today when I hear people talk about Islamism and Islamists, or radical Muslims, or Muslim extremists, because the intent in each one of these new locutions that have been around for a few decades now is to make the claim that these violent terrorists are outliers, extremists. They're unrepresentative of Islam. In effect, the message of Daniel Pipes, who was among the first of the propagators of the terms Islamism and Islamist, and is that of Barack Obama, essentially saying the same thing. Every time a Muslim, like a rabid dog, goes berserk and creates a bloodbath among innocent people, devotees of the new vocabulary want you to think, for example, Captain Hassan down there in Fort Hood was not a Muslim, he was an Islamist. Islam is a peaceful religion, and not to be confused with Islamism, this militant offshoot of extremists who turn peaceful Islam into a militant doctrine of violence and conquest, which is not representative of the real Islam. Trouble is, the words Islamism and Islamist are not used by the Arabs and not used by the Muslims themselves. They're inventions of Western academics for their own non-scholarly purposes. By and large, these academic experts on Islam are not comfortable thinking that their field of expertise is about a religion of homicidal maniacs, but unfortunately it is. It's as if an academic study of Hasidic sects reported on a sect that did not exist except in the academic's imagination. Who are these Western intellectuals to come up with a category for Muslims that the Muslims themselves do not recognize? The problem with Islam is not that all believers are bent on violence. The problem is that those who are find ample support for their violence in the Quran. Much of the Quran is a description of battles Muhammad waged. It's a religion drenched in blood. Think of the Ashura holiday that the Shiites honor, when young men walk through the streets with razor blades in their hands, slashing at their scalps to make themselves bloody. Like some of the Spanish Catholic crucifixes, blood streams down the crown onto the thorns of Jesus. Well, that's what they look like, these Shiite guys with their razors. It's a bloody religion. Thank God Israel has none of this imagery. So today was another day for crying by thousands of Jews, whose tears these Muslims love to see. These Arabs Muslims, these Persian Muslims, these Turkish Muslims, they're capable of such cruelty, such savage tortures and diabolical and creative ways of murdering people, drowning them in cages, chopping off their heads, burning them on spits like roasting an animal. I was reminded today at the news of this latest eruption of satanic evil in the hands of yet another crazed Arab Muslim maniac. I was pleased, if that's the word, when I heard the radio coverage of the day and Halal Yafa's mother speaking, choking through her tears. She still had the presence of mind to refer to the murderer of her daughter as a Muslim Arab, not a Palestinian. Eshet Chayil, woman of valor. It was heartbreaking to listen to her, and once again, the thousands who went to the funeral today, all of them surely shed tears of pain and horror at the behavior of such beasts. One of my grandmother's Yiddish expressions, behemoths often say feast, beasts on 2 feet. How long will it take for Israel's ruling class to understand that the enemy is not Palestinian nationalism, but age-old Mohammedanism, with its hatred of Jews fueling the furnace burning in its black heart? Western culture, other cultures, judge such behaviors as we saw today as the work of a psychopath, a nut job, a homicidal maniac. But in Arab Muslim society, well, parents of such demons like this latest 17-year-old murderer and suicide was portrayed in the PA media as proud. He was a shaheed, daddy said, a martyr for the cause. A holy man, Islam's version of a hero, a saint. As Musab Hassan Youssef said, the son of the Hamas headman in Yosh, who collaborated with GSS, the problem with Islam is that its God is a cruel God. This is not Abraham's God. And I say bullseye, and that is one of the classic definitions of paganism in my book. In the pagan universe, the gods, the powers, are not merciful. They don't make demands of man to be virtuous. They don't care about man's fate. And among themselves, the pagan gods, their own behavior is commonly reprehensible. In the age of Aristotle and the great tragedian playwrights, man looked down on the gods, who, because they were immortal, could never be courageous. They had no fear of death. They lacked as well any empathy for one another and for man. They were not seen as man's creator who loved them. They were independent forces in the universe, projections of man's own character at its worst. Islam, in this way, remains a pagan religion, whose devotees echo with memories of humankind before the Great Flood. They're all, in the Freudian terms, id. They're all id. They're all appetite, unrestrained by any sense of ethics and morality. Today, like a wild ass, another Arab youth, unbridled by human empathy, murdered a beautiful little Jewish girl. Israel has to shift gears. But before talking about that, some music.
אני מאמין באמונה שלמה בביאת המשיח אני מאמין ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא היי
ננאי
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 ננאי ננאי
ננאי
ננאי
ננאי
ננאי אני מאמין באמונה שלמה בביאת המשיח אני מאמין ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא
נאי
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 נאי נאי נאי נאי נאי נאי נאי
נאי
נאי נאי
נאי
נאי נאי נאי נאי נאי נאי ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא.
And that was one of the 13 principles of faith by Maimonides. I believe in the coming of the Messiah. So the question remains, as always, after these grotesque outbursts of horror perpetrated by these savages, what to do with them? Earlier this evening, I think, the army went to level the home where the murderer lived, but I'm not sure. I heard as well the clan he belonged to is going to lose their work permits in Israel or something like that. I think Israel has to go back to the good old days after the Six-Day War, when it was cool to be to kick Arabs out of the country for behavior like this, and even behavior less worse than this. That was the practice for some 20 years, until the 1980s, when Linda Rabin, with his spineless record of retreat throughout his life, after expelling Hamas leaders to Lebanon, then knuckled under to foreign pressure to bring them back, and we haven't seen this since then. I remember meeting during the First Intifada, 1988, one of the legends of the generation of the 1930s and 40s, Chaim Levakov, born in the Galilee, spoke fluent Arabic. He fought under Ord Wingate in the counter-terror raids of 1936-39. He served in Arab lands after the war as a spy. He told me at the time that the government was mishandling the riots. He knew the Arabs well. He said it was possible to live with them, but you had to deal with them a certain way. And he said the way to deal with the stone throwers is not to arrest them and try them in a military court and then put them in prison. He said you have to capture them, and then they should be immediately taken home, these young boys, to their parents, and all of them, the parents and the kids, are put in buses, and their siblings all are driven down to a Jordan River crossing and kicked out of the country. He said that would have parents all over Judea and Samaria telling their kids, don't you act up, I don't want to become a homeless refugee in Jordan either. I think Minister Israel Katz today has already expressed the view that the family of the murderer should be expelled from the country tonight. I drink to that. But I would also like to see our leaders speak out and call out for an end to the fantasy of the two-state solution, which says quite simply all Jews must leave Judea and Samaria and the Arabs will take over. Say it's time to put that fantasy to rest, to speak some truth to the planet, to the world community, and make the point that these Arabs here are not ready for prime time. They have shown over more than two decades now of huge financial and political support from outside that they are incapable of self-government, and under no circumstances will Israel relinquish control of all the land west of the Jordan River, period. We would have to be as crazy as these murderers in a different way to think that we will improve our lives by retreating from the high ground and turning everything over to the Ishmaelites. Look at Gaza. Look at Syria, at Iraq, at Yemen, at Lebanon, at Algeria, one Arab land after another where the Arabs are always killing each other. I think of the history of the Middle East in just my own lifetime. Always turmoil, always coup d'etat, always palace revolts, assassinations, sectarian wars. In my book, I chronicle it all, and it's an ever-spinning kaleidoscope of Middle East current events. The gang wars in southern Lebanon in the 1970s and 80s, the different PLO factions. The PLO at one time had as many as 18 different groups, and they had gang wars. The gang wars in southern Lebanon between the Sunni PLO gangs and the Shiite Lebanese gangs, the locals. Then there were the gang wars between the pro-Iran Lebanese Shiite gangs and their brothers in the anti-Iranian Lebanese Shiite gangs. In 1962, Nasser invaded Yemen to back the Arab socialists trying to overthrow the Shiite imams who had ruled for 1,000 years and used mustard gas on the opposition, their own fellow Muslims. Outlawed since, I think, at least World War I. There was the Lebanese Civil War, 1975-1989, 150,000 people killed. These are not soldiers in uniform in armies facing off on a battlefield. These are all civilians. The Muslim Rebellion in Algeria in the 1990s, another 200,000 dead, killing each other. Arabs killing Arabs. And today there are now more than 200,000 dead in Syria since 2011. Israel's post-religious Zionists believe that they transformed themselves, that if they transformed themselves and brought the land of Israel back to life and the Arabs would benefit, they would become grateful for the benefits that Zionism would give to them. Herzl, Chaim Weizmann, Lawrence of Arabia, and others were all optimistic about the benefits to the Arabs that Zionism would afford them and thus make them friendlier. And especially since the Zionists had shed the old arrogance of being the chosen people, the hatred, if there was any, would disappear. Yeah, I want Israel to revert to the way it used to be, to the way Israel carried itself in the wake of the Six-Day War, proud and not feeling guilty in the slightest for its victory. No one in Israel at the time, no one in the liberal democratic West thought when the fighting ended, Israel had to make a U-turn and race back out of the territory it had just captured in the fighting. Israel had to give it all back immediately. No one said that. No one. No one challenged the right of Israel to rule in Judea and Samaria in that June of 1967, and the next month too in July, and the next month in August, and so on and so forth. Every month since then, almost a half century now, our presence in Judea and Samaria is today as moral and as legal and as right as it has always been. This business of the occupation, explaining the hostility, is rubbish. The truth is that the settlements have absolutely nothing to do with the hostility. This is a known, indisputable fact of history. The hostility directed at us by the Arabs in Judea in early 1967 had absolutely nothing to do with settlements. There weren't any. There was no occupation. That hostility was a pre-existing condition. What Israelis have lost, tragically, is the self-assurance, the self-confidence, the belief in themselves, and having the right to rule in Judea and Samaria, even after almost a half a century. And the horror today in Kiryat Alba was another example of what Israel, why Israel has to continue to rule in these hills. Without the presence of the Jewish communities and the army and the police, life west of the 1949 ceasefire line would become intolerable. It is for the sake of the coastal plain we have to remain here. And it's time for Israelis to proudly shoot down the inhuman demands of the two-state solution and the immorality of that proposal. The rightness of driving hundreds of thousands of Jews from homes they have every moral and legal right to live in? That would be an expulsion greater than the expulsion from Spain? I find it simply mind-boggling that any Jew still thinks seriously of the inhuman demands of the two-state solution. With people here, our neighbors, like these rabid wild asses of bloodthirsty beasts on 2 feet, who creep into Jewish apartments in the morning and knife Jewish girls to death, stabbed her 8 times. Her blood was all over the bed and the floor. With monsters like these, we must stay here forever.
Raza de Shabbas, Shabbas, Yihi Shabbas, Tesach Hadas, Beraza de Echa, Beraza de Echa, Mishrei al Arza de Echa. Raza de Shabbas, Shabbas, Yihi Shabbas, Tesach Hadas, Beraza de Echa, Beraza de Echa, Mishrei al Arza de Echa. Tzilai Sadi Malei Shabsa, Kira Kadisha Akira Kadisha I'm Yakira, Kadisha.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. So, aside from today's Nation in Tears over the latest eruption of Arab-Muslim evil, the top story was the vote in the Security Cabinet for the Turkey deal, 7-3. And since the case made by Netanyahu and Dori Gold, the foreign minister, director general, was the paramount menace of belligerent, my word, not his, Islam in the region, and the implication Israel and Turkey face the same danger. This argument seemed to pass. The horror at Ataturk Airport in Istanbul this week is believed to be ISIS, which puzzles some because Erdogan and company are themselves aggressive Muslim believers, and in the past Erdogan had tolerated ISIS using Turkey in its aggression against Assad in Syria, whom Erdogan can't stand. But, like the Sorcerer's Apprentice, who got out of hand, ISIS is now reported to be hostile to Turkey. And why? Erdogan seems too open to the West. He's not pure enough in his Islamic doctrine and fervor, so they sent those three lunatics to blow themselves up and first machine gun people at the airport. Now, I'm here to tell you this is an old, old pattern in Araby. In every generation, the young bucks, envious of the local despot, claim he is corrupt and a hypocrite who is not religious enough, and the rebels promise a real Muslim regime when they take over, overthrow the current one. It's another instance of Ishmael's hunger for wealth that does not belong to him, for power and domination over others, and his use of Islam as a justification for his appetite for wealth and power. So in J-Post today, in a commentary on the deal with Turkey, the Security Cabinet affirmed it, and it was claimed that Erdogan is now being targeted by by ISIS, the one he once supported, and the three suicide freaks at the airport were ISIS agents, striking at Erdogan, weakening the Turkish economy, especially in summer when the tourist trade is at its strongest. In other words, what's going on now in Turkey and Iraq and Syria and Yemen is an old, old story. It is reasonable to assume that the turmoil and fratricide in just my lifetime alone is characteristic of one 70-year period after another over thousands of years. And this is one major reason why Israel must be realistic and demand that the world let us be realistic and stop this lunacy of thinking it would be a good idea to turn most of Judea and Samaria Muslims. Israel could do worse than tell the world these Arabs are incapable of civilized self-rule. Indeed, they are morally unqualified for self-rule. The PA media has already beatified the 17-year-old monster who murdered sweet little Halel Yafa today, Hashem Yikom Dama. Israel has to tell the world that when Abbas tells the EU Parliament that Israel is poisoning wells and massacring Palestinians, he exposes himself as unfit for the responsibility of running a state. He's nothing but a thug. And by the way, an added detail to my reportage on Abbas's speech in Brussels the other day when he was spewing these medieval lies. It turns out that at the end, which I didn't tell you, he was given a standing ovation. This is another good reason why Brexit can be a blessing if it leads to the complete collapse of the corrupt EU bureaucracy. Last item, please check out the DPP blog for, I guess that's Tuesday's webcast, and find, I hope, a link posted to a memory.org video. If it's not there, it's video number 5536. It's 5 minutes long, and it's a must-see. It's a boy preacher in a Jordanian mosque preaching like a robot, barking one anti-Semitic fantasy lie after another. And you'll see this is what Israel's up against. And it has nothing to do with the absence of statehood for the legendary Palestinian people of ancient times. It never occurred to the European Ashkenazi Jews who dreamed up secular Zionism that Islam was as theologically hateful of Jews as Christendom could be and was from time to time, let alone entertain the idea, as I do, that Islamic anti-Jewism is even worse. In hindsight, they appear to have been tragically uneducated about the life and history of Jews living under Muslim rule for 14 centuries. And today's Israelis have yet to catch up. Anyway, Laila Tov and Shabbat Shalom from the hills of Judea, endlessly irrigated with warm Jewish blood.